Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 3, Karma Yoga, Text 19. Tasmada Sakta Saratam Karyam Karma Samachara Asakto Yacharan Karma Paramapnoti Purusha. Tasmat, therefore, asakta, without attachment, saratam, constantly, karyam, as duty, karma, work, samachara, perform, asakta, unattached, he, certainly, acharan, performing, karma, work, param, the supreme, apnoti, achieves, purusha, a man. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. By working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. Purport. The Supreme is the personality of Godhead for the devotees and liberation for the impersonalists. Person, therefore, acting for Krishna or in Krishna consciousness under proper guidance without attachment to the results of the work, is certainly making progress towards the supreme goal of life. Arjuna is told that he should fight in the battle of Kurukshetra for the interest of Krishna, because Krishna wanted him to fight. To be a good man or a non-violent man is a personal attachment, but to act on behalf of the supreme is to act without attachment to the result. That is perfect action of the highest degree, recommended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Vedic rituals, like prescribed sacrifices, are performed for purification of impious activities that were performed in the field of sense gratification. But action in Krishna consciousness is transcendental to the reactions of good or evil work. Krishna conscious person has no attachment to the result, but acts on behalf of Krishna alone. He engages in all kinds of activities, but is completely non-attached. So the text again. Tasmada sakta saratam karya karyam samachara asato yachara karma paramapnoti purusha. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. By working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. So Bhagavad Gita deals with different types of karma. There's vikarma, there's karma, there's akarma. So generally people are what's called vikarma. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Yet indriya pritya aprinoti nasaro manye yat atmanoyam asanapi kleshida ashadeha. So nunam. Nunam means indeed. So Maharaja Shabdev is shocked. Nunam pramatak. That people are so crazy. Kurute. Kurute means to work. They do things. Nunam pramatak kurute vikarma. They do activities which are actually against the laws of nature. And what are those activities? Yet indriya pritya aprinoti, trying to gratify the senses. In other words, simply working, as Krishna says, whimsically, trying to gratify the senses, is a gateway to hell. Trivida Narakasyeda, Krishna says. That there are three gates to hell: lust, anger, and greed. So people are actually glorifying lust, anger, and greed. If someone becomes very greedy or very lusty, then he becomes a hero in modern society. Romeo is considered a hero. And their heroes are always someone like James Bond. There's no question of the only regular principle is that there are no regular principles. It's the only principle they follow. And those are the heroes. If someone becomes excessively greedy, then he's a national hero. People want to find out how they can also become as greedy as he is. And as far as anger, well, the modern heroes are extremely violent usually. In a movie or in watching television in America, in the lifetime, I mean, every week a child is subjected to watching so many hundreds of people getting killed. But to speak of when they're playing a video game, all day long, they go to school maybe for 4 or 5 hours, and the rest of the time, the other 8 hours, they're playing, killing things. And then people can't understand why children nowadays seem so violent. If you spend your whole life, the whole day, killing things, you're not exactly going to become a great saint. So, these are the gateways to hell. These are the qualifications to enter into a hellish condition of life. And these are what's being systematically cultivated in modern society. The very concept that animals have no soul. You can do whatever they like, whatever you like with them. Children have no souls. If they're in the womb of the mother, there's no soul there. And now the two states in America have introduced bills right up until the child is born, you can kill it. Even when it's just about to give birth, you can kill it on the way out. Because it has no soul. And even if it makes its way out, still doubtful, well, it still has a soul if you don't want it to. So they have, some countries they have euthanasia, you can abort the child, and soon it'll be old people. You get too old, you're unproductive, so they mercifully kill you. Prabhupada said in some countries, like in Africa, they have a grandfather feast. You know about the grandfather feast? Well, when the grandfather gets old, then what they do is in order to celebrate the grandfather's old age, they take him up to the roof of the house and they roll him off. And then, if he's still alive, they take him back to the roof of the house and they roll him off again. Till he's not alive anymore. And then they have a feast in his honor and they eat his brains. Because he's a very wise man. He was a wise man. And therefore, if you eat his brains, you'll also become wise. So this is also common to modern society. If you're unproductive, we mercifully kill you. Children don't have a soul. Children in the womb don't have a soul. And previously, they had killings of people who were crippled or mentally retarded, all in the name of preserving the purity of society. The people who are doing all these merciful killings, they don't want their good name and reputation to be tarnished. So they mercifully kill all the people they don't like to preserve the purity of their race. So, lust, anger, greed, these have become more or less the objectives of modern society, to increase these things. And the aim of this is called vikarma, because not only is visible, but one will have to take one birth after another. So therefore, Vedic literature introduces karma. Karma means act dutifully according to the prescribed laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to act in harmony with the material energy, and to minimize the destruction of others and the material nature. That's called karma. And karma means, ultimately, to act as a sacrifice for Vishnu, Jagavai Vishnu, so everyone in the society is participating to sacrifice something for Vishnu. So, as I said yesterday, the rains come, the grains grow, and people can live peacefully with fresh air, clean water, nice relationships, and society progresses because not only, generally in Daivavana Ashram, there are celebrations about Vishnu. Every day there's some celebration, practically speaking. Prabhupada said at night they have these plays about Vishnu, the Ramayan, and plays about Kali Kata, where Sudama Vipra or others are being glorified. And they work hard in the field, they grow the necessary things for survival, and then at night they hear about Krishna, and they dream at night about Krishna. So that's called civilization. And that's all under the realm of karma. The people who are Shudras, they become free from their distress by following regular principles, by having their lives regulated by the higher classes of men. The Vaishyas live peacefully by getting all the necessities of life. The Kshatriyas ruled under the Brahmins, and therefore they know how to manage society so society can progressively advance spiritually, and they protect the citizens from the onslaught of material desires. And the Brahmins, they perform sacrifices and elevate their consciousness, so either they live in Brahman or they live in Krishna consciousness, and society advances peacefully. And Krishna consciousness doesn't rely upon any particular material circumstances, but directly engages one in Krishna's service, so that one can think about Krishna under all circumstances. So our Hare Krishna movement is principally for that. Somehow or another, chant Hare Krishna and get others to chant Hare Krishna too. There is a minimum amount of duties in Varna and Ashram, because unless there is some regulation of the habits through deity worship and through proper social interactions, then people will have bad association with each other. Then our tendency towards pursuing material desires will increase if association, especially between the opposite sex, is unrestricted. Therefore, there's this restriction, especially between the interrelationships between men and women, and that's about it. Because obviously we're not relying upon Vedic sacrifice to obtain the necessities of life. The only thing we're relying upon is Krishna's mercy through the chanting of Hare Krishna, that he'll provide what we lack and preserve what we have. In any case, the direct performance of devotional service, which leads to Krishna consciousness, then Krishna says that by such direct performance, then everything is also provided for the devotees. But it should be done practically. In other words, as I said yesterday, devotional service is not something whimsical. We just spend the whole time chanting Hare Krishna, and it doesn't really matter what else we do. Or as Prabhupada said, after finishing his 16 rounds and throwing his beads on the floor, on the table, saying, now I've chanted my 16 rounds, I can do any damn thing I want. No, actually, spread the Sankirtan movement has to be done systematically. Krishna is actually expecting some result. He doesn't expect, we're chanting Hare Krishna and it's all spontaneous. People come, they don't come. People come and go, they go. Doesn't matter what we do or say, we just, from the heart, it's all from the heart. Yeah, we can do like that, and then our heart will take us, into the temple, and sometimes it'll take us into other places too. We just follow what our heart tells us. But we should systematically, if we want to distribute Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and become his instrument, then we have to be effective. Srila Prabhupada just didn't do everything from the heart. Although, because he was fully Krishna conscious, therefore the potency he had in his activities was quite great. Just by his presence, people became conscious of Krishna to some degree. But still, he systematically cultivated Krishna consciousness through farm projects. He gave the outline for how to do farm projects, gurukuls, book distribution, outreach, deity worship. He gave the formula for so many different projects. He created a GVC to coordinate these activities, so he wasn't into just everything is just spontaneous to do as you like. As a matter of fact, others who have taken that bent in their societies, after their leaders disappear, their societies have practically disappeared. From the Gaudiya Math to the present Gaudiya Math. That any society, I don't think the Christians decided that we're just going to do whatever we like. We don't really need someone. Of course, those Christian organizations which were nicely organized were the most successful and still are the most successful, although their organization due to Kali Yuga has deteriorated. But still, they've sustained over centuries their organization because it's done systematically. While other movements, which were not systematic in their organization, neither they could attract followers, nor they could keep any followers, nor could they keep their organizations intact. So the spreading of the Hare Krishna movement, which is our primary activity, should be done, as Prabhupada said, with organization and intelligence. When he asked Giriraj Maharaj, how will the Hare Krishna movement go on after my disappearance? Giriraj Maharaj said, well, we'll chant Hare Krishna Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada. He said, no. We'll be sincere. No. And Prabhupada said, organization and intelligence. Otherwise, if we don't have organization and intelligence, we may be very sincere. Just like if you're in a city and you're trying to find a destination, but you have the wrong map, you may be very sincere looking for where you're trying to go to, but you'll never reach it because you got the wrong map. Now you can call up your friend. You say, well, I'm trying really hard to go to my destination. I'm following the map. Well, just try harder. Go faster. So it doesn't matter what you do. If you have the wrong map, you're not going to go anywhere. You'll never find your destination. First of all, you have to have the right system, the right map. Then you can actually use your sincerity to go to the destination. Otherwise, you may be just wasting your time. So first we have to systematically plan where we're going. Then we can actually see if we're getting there. We don't know what we're trying to achieve. We'll never know if we're achieving it or not. In any case, the Hare Krishna movement is generally on the spontaneous platform, especially the preaching. Our sadhana bhakti is regulated, but our preaching can be very innovative, creative, and successful if we just use our intelligence and our creativity to attract people to Krishna consciousness, and our intelligence to keep them progressing in Krishna consciousness, to strengthen people's commitment. Then the result is that we'll actually become Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness actually requires laser-like attention on Krishna. We can't do a million things or do whatever we want and expect to remember Krishna consistently. We have to have a laser-like focus on distributing Krishna consciousness and at the same time practicing Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction, one of the symptoms of a pure devotee in Uttama Adhikari is not only they chant their prescribed number of rounds all the time, follow all the rules and regulations, but they're always thinking about how to spread the Hare Krishna movement. So it's not that there's something apart from our acting as an instrument for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission and our spiritual advancement. They go hand in hand. Our practice of Krishna consciousness and our distribution of Krishna consciousness will actually determine how far we actually advance in Krishna consciousness. So we may not be able to perform prescribed Vedic duties, but that's our duty. Not only to practice Krishna consciousness, but to distribute it both inside the society and outside the society, what is Krishna consciousness. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Just one small question. I wanted to ask how to practice our detachment from the results of our work, because it's really hard, at least for me, when I'm trying to do something good. I invest my time, I invest my energy, and it's really hard to detach myself for the results, because I'm expecting the good results. And it's really detached. Is it good practice to think, okay, I gave my 100% to do this, it's up to you, Krishna, how will you, it's up to you how the results will go on, or can you give me some advice how to practice this detachment of this results from?
Well, it's real simple. Everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, how can we gain anything?
Okay.
Whatever happens, it all belongs to Krishna anyhow. It's only a mental thing that we're, first of all, it's a mental conception that we're the doer, that we're even supplying the intelligence for the activity to go on. It's all going by Krishna's arrangement. And since Krishna owns everything, we have nothing to gain here, nor can we lose anything. The only thing we have to gain is Krishna consciousness. So we're actually thinking, we're doing this activity to please Krishna according to what his authorities have instructed us, and then we actually start thinking about Krishna. That's our gain. And if we do that, then there's no question of gain or loss. That is our gain. Whatever happens in the result, that goes to Krishna. Yes.
Usually where at least also for me, if I want to do something, you know, it's natural to expect some result. Otherwise, if there is not this small passion, or I don't know what it is, I don't think that a lot of people would have will to perform, you know, some work or something.
That's all right. The ultimate result should be we become Krishna conscious. And we become Krishna conscious, and we actually feel happiness in Krishna consciousness, we won't be so much concerned about the result. But in the beginning, generally speaking, we go out, we try to get people to come to the temple, hear about Krishna. So we're working hard, no one comes. We might get a little discouraged after some time, or at least we should change our strategy, who we're trying to invite. Or if you go on book distribution and everyone just tells you to get lost, you might get lost after some time. But if you actually, people stop and they take a book and give a donation, it's a little bit more encouraging. So we do want to develop our desire to get small victories in our struggle to become Krishna conscious and get results. But ultimately, Krishna will help us get detached from these results too. Because it doesn't matter how many times they read our name out, how many books we distributed, and how many jayas we hear, it doesn't make us any more Krishna conscious, just hearing jaya after our name. What makes us Krishna conscious is that we're actually Krishna conscious while we're doing our service. So after a while, one will get bored just hearing his name shouted, jai, bhakti so-and-so, ki, jai, yeah. Sorry, I'm humble, you know, just... I'm so humble. Another jai, one more time. A little louder this time. All right, one, two.
It's in bhakti process because everything is like Krishna, means, desired, personal serving. But, for example, devotees that live outside and go to work and like this, I don't think that, you know, no one thinks like, I will go to work, but if I don't get paid, it's okay. No, I shouldn't be attached to.
Well, the question is, what's your payment? What are you looking for?
Well, if you work outside, obviously it's money.
Yes.
Everyone works for money. No one, I don't know anyone to go to work.
Is that why you come to the Hare Krishna movement? How much are they paying you to be here?
No.
So why are you here? Why do you come and sit in class? What do you expect from it? Yeah. That's all right. You can give some of it to Krishna too, though. So, but still, you're not sitting here earning money. You didn't come here to earn money, I hope. You'll be greatly disappointed. Yeah, we come here because we want to get some transcendental knowledge so we can become Krishna conscious. So if we're working for Krishna, that's what we should expect. Since Krishna owns everything, how are we going to get any result? How can there be any result for ourselves since we don't own anything? We can't own anything. It's impossible. We're little souls situated transcendentally, desiring. So when we desire to please Krishna, then we become Krishna conscious. When we desire to get results, fruit of results, then we forget Krishna. We wind up in some mode of material nature somewhere. So we want to take one body after another, hankering for material happiness. Then that's one direction we can take. Or if we do our activities to please Krishna, and we become Krishna conscious. We do our activities under Krishna's guidance and his representative's guidance to please him. And we become Krishna conscious. That's another result. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.